Have you ever looked at a beautifully crafted object, maybe a watch, and wondered, really wondered, about the stories it could tell? You know, the hidden histories, the innovations, maybe some surprising turns of fate hidden in the design?
Absolutely. Things you wouldn't guess just by looking.
Exactly. Well, today we're doing a deep dive into a brand that has all of that in spades, Panerai.
Ah, Panerai. Good
Hey,
choice.
yeah. Roots stretching back over 160 years. Deeply tied into huge events like World War II.
Yeah.
It's a much richer, more complex history than you might think at first glance.
Definitely not just another watch brand.
Right. So we've gathered a whole load of articles, research, some great notes about Panerai. And our mission today is basically to cut through the noise, give you a shortcut to being really well informed about this iconic brand. We want to uncover some genuinely surprising stuff, you know, pivotal moments you won't forget.
And what's really fascinating, I think, is how those early decisions made over a century ago, how they still echo today. They shape the brand's legacy, its market presence, everything. So we're not just going to list facts like what happened. We'll dig into why it matters, you know, for understanding Panerai, yeah, but also luxury watches generally.
Okay, so you'll walk away with some quick, solid knowledge.
And hopefully some real aha moments might change how you see these things.
Love it. Okay, let's turn back the clock then. Seems fitting for a watch company, right?
Quite.
All the way back to 1860, that's when Giovanni Panerai opened his shop, his Orologeria, right in
The
Florence.
heart of Florence, yeah.
But here's the thing, it wasn't just a shop for buying or fixing watches. The records show it was also the city's very first watchmaking school.
Which is pretty amazing, right? Think about the ambition there.
Totally, not just making things, but teaching others in Florence, of all places, already this hub of craftsmanship.
It's such a key part of their DNA, that foundation. Precision, artistry, right from the start. And being in Florence, that quickly led to a really crucial relationship. Our research points strongly to the connection with the Royal Italian Navy.
Yes, the Navy connection. That comes up a lot.
It does. And they weren't just any client. The Navy became Panerai's main focus for decades, really, through a lot of the 20th century.
So they were making specialized gear for them.
Exactly. Highly specialized. And dealing with such a demanding client, you know, with extreme needs, that shaped everything Panerai did next, long before they became the international luxury brand we know now, around the year 2000 or so.
So utility came first. Purpose-driven design.
Absolutely. Built for a specific, tough job.
And that purpose, that utility, it leads straight into some major innovations, doesn't it? Especially for a brand known now for dive watches.
Right, this is where it gets really interesting.
Panerai was a real pioneer, early days of dive watch tech. The Radiomir line, people might recognize that name today, was totally groundbreaking back then. And one key thing we found, plexiglass.
Plexiglass, yeah. Seems ordinary now, maybe.
But think about it, early 20th century, most watch crystals were actual glass.
So gradual.
Very fragile. And for a naval diver, the demands were huge. Deep water pressure, knocks, bumps.
You need to see the time clearly in murky water.
And a shattered crystal isn't just annoying, it could be fatal if the watch fails. Plexiglass was way more durable, a game changer, like you said.
So it wasn't just about looks, it was pure function.
Cure function. And their dedication, it went further than just the materials. We found descriptions of them being almost obsessive about it.
Obsessive how?
Well, they actually built a special machine just to test the watches against intense seawater pressure
Wow.
to mimic the exact conditions divers faced. It wasn't just about selling a product, it was about equipping these guys with tools they could bet their lives on.
That makes you think, though, how much did that intense focus on, you know, hardcore utility for this one specific group, how much did that influence their later move into luxury? Because even today, their watches still have that tough, functional look, don't they? They absolutely do. That heritage is still visible. It raises that question: how do you maintain that tool watch credibility while becoming a high-end luxury item? Panerai seems to have managed it.
But that focus on function, especially visibility in the dark, underwater, it led to some, let's call them secrets from the past.
Ah, yes. The darker side of early innovation, perhaps.
One thing that jumped out was that some of the original bottles were actually toxic.
Right. Because of the loom.
Exactly. To make the markings glow underwater or at night, Panerai, like a lot of watchmakers back then, used radium.
Highly radioactive radium.
Pretty scary stuff from today's perspective.
Well, yes, The Radiomir compound, that's where the name comes from, used radium. At the time, it was seen as cutting-edge stuff.
Because it glowed on its own.
Exactly. And no need for an external light source to charge it. But what's fascinating is how something celebrated as an innovation back then
is now known to be seriously hazardous.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Shows how scientific understanding evolves, doesn't it? But the story gets even more complex. Well, we strongly associate Panerai with the Italian Navy.
Mm-hmm.
The research suggests they weren't only for them. There are these intriguing mentions, quite well documented now, of them being used by German military divers, too.
German divers during World War II.
During World War II, yes. And those specific watches, the ones made for or used by the Germans, are incredibly rare now.
Why so rare?
Limited production runs, the sort of clandestine nature of those wartime uses. They're not just timepieces. They're genuine historical artifacts, very sought after, tangible links to a really complex, dangerous period.
It's just wild, the layers here. Innovation, danger, secret military history, all packed into a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the surprises don't stop there, do they? Because here's one that might really make people do a double take.
Let me guess. Rolex.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Rolex. Yes, that Rolex played a crucial sort of behind-the-scenes role in Panerai's early technical development.
It's an absolute key piece of the story and, yeah, kind of astounding. Often gets glossed over.
So how did that work? Two future luxury giants working together.
Well, back when Giovanni Panerai and later his son Giuseppe were designing their most heavy-duty watches, they needed expertise. They looked to the best Swiss suppliers.
Okay.
And right at the top of that list was Rolex, not just as a parts supplier, but as a collaborator, especially on waterproof watch tech.
Really? Rolex helped them with waterproofing?
Specifically, yeah. Our sources confirm Rolex helped Panerai develop the prototype for that iconic cushion-shaped waterproof case.
No way.
Way. And get this, the very first Radiomir watch that Panerai delivered to the Italian Navy in 1936, it wasn't just inspired by Rolex. It was powered by Rolex components.
You mean a movement inside?
The movement inside. Rolex's famous oyster movements. The same super reliable, self-winding movements that had already made Rolex's name for toughness.
Wow. So Panerai was basically using Rolex's proven waterproof cases and movements for their critical military contracts. That changes things.
It really does. It shows this fascinating period where collaboration, even between brands that would later compete fiercely, was vital for innovation.
This makes sense. Panerai had the specific need, the military client.
And Rolex had the patents and the proven tech for waterproof cases and reliable engines, so to speak. It was symbiotic.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship was critical for building Panerai's early reputation for being tough and precise. It laid the groundwork. And that partnership lasted until 1956.
1956. Then it ended.
Yeah, seems it wound down around then, during what was kind of a quieter period for Panerai before their big resurgence later on.
And what a resurgence. Let's fast forward. Today, Panerai is definitely not in the lull. It's a modern powerhouse.
Oh, absolutely.
Selling, what, an estimated 70,000 watches a year? That's huge in the luxury space.
It is. They've successfully blended that incredible history with a very contemporary appeal.
And speaking of contemporary appeal, we have to talk about the Bronzo.
Ah, the Bronzo. Yeah. Yes. You almost can't talk about modern Panerai without it.
It feels like that watch just exploded onto the scene.
It really did. Introduced back in 2011, its impact has been just monumental. It became a cultural touchstone, truly.
How so?
Well, our research pretty much credits the Bronzo with kicking off the whole trend for bronze watches in the luxury market.
Really? It started with them?
Almost single-handedly, yeah.
Yeah.
Before the Bronzo, bronze was, you know, pretty niche, maybe some obscure brands, marine instruments, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Panerai took a risk using it for a high-end piece, and wow, did it pay off.
What was the appeal? Just the look.
It's multi-layered, I think.
Yeah.
Bronze develops a unique patina over time, right? It changes with the owner, gets this lived-in look.
Ah, so it feels personal, unique to you.
Exactly. And that perfectly echoes Panerai's tool watch roots, that ruggedness.
Yeah.
It connects to their whole maritime history in a really tangible way, like finding an old piece of naval equipment.
That idea of a watch aging with you, getting character, that's powerful for luxury buyers.
It really is. And the market just went crazy for it.
I bet. What did they cost originally versus now?
Originally, retail was somewhere in the $7,000 to $8,000 range, give or take.
Okay. High end, but, you know, in the realm.
Right. But today,
yeah,
because they were limited, because of the demand, the cult status, you're looking at $26,000, $32,000, easily, sometimes even more on the secondary market.
Wow, that's incredible appreciation.
It really is,
yeah.
And it makes you ask, what's the magic formula? What makes certain watches, like the Bronzo, just transcend their price and become these coveted things, sparking whole new trends.
Yeah, what is it?
It's going to be a mix, right? Unique design, sure, but also that compelling story, the heritage connection.
Yeah.
Clever limited production runs definitely help create buzz.
Scarcity factor.
Mm-hmm. And tapping into that desire for something authentic, something individual that maybe mass-produced luxury sometimes misses, the Bronzo nailed it.
So looking back at everything we've covered, it's quite a journey.
It really is.
From that small watchmaking school in Florence, 1860, forging its identity, making tough gear for the military, dealing with, you know, radioactive materials back in the day,
right,
secretly collaborating with Rolex of all brands.
Which is still amazing to think about.
Then hitting a quiet patch, only to reemerge as this global luxury player, selling tens of thousands of watches, setting trends with stuff like the Bronzo. Panerai has definitely seen it all. It's certainly not a boring company history.
Not in the slightest.
Yeah.
And it just highlights how even something like a watch, something we might see as just an accessory,
yeah,
can be this vessel carrying literally centuries of history, technology, human stories packed inside its case and design.
That's a great way to put it.
This deep dive, I think it shows the challenges, the surprising partnerships, the sheer ingenuity that goes into building a brand like that, becoming a leader.
It really does make you look at everyday objects a bit differently, doesn't it? Thinking about what hidden stories they might have.
It does.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Considering Panerai's journey, you know, from military tool to luxury icon, what other things you use every day might have surprisingly deep histories or hidden secrets if you decided to do your own deep dive?
That's a good one. Something to think about.
Definitely something to ponder. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.